Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand. Angry winds around it blow. All on board were filled with pride as the mighty billows roll. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and sea obey? He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. Yes, he's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. Oh, but the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Yes. I stand amazed.
Good morning. That's a beautiful medley of songs sung by the late Squire Parsons, one of the great songwriters and singers of my generation. He went home to be with the Lord last month, and those are just a few of the songs on an album that he recorded and gave to me. It was my privilege to work with him at a camp meeting several years ago, and what a wonderful man, and truly a servant of God, who influenced so many with his music, and I'm thankful for his life, and we will be reunited with him one day. I believe that with all of my heart. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today, and I appreciate your prayers as I am involved in my first camp meeting of the summer. That's June 7 to 14, Gaskin Springs Camp Meeting in Douglas, Georgia. And then I'm going to travel to my home state of North Carolina, June 20 through 22 at Joyce Presbyterian Church. I'll be holding revival services that weekend, and I invite our friends who listen to us on WPET to join us. That church is located in Stoneville over near Eden, North Carolina. That's June 20, 21, and 22. And then June the 29th, I will travel to West Chazy, New York, to the West Chazy Holiness Camp Meeting, and I do cover your prayers as I'm involved in these services during the month of June. Heavenly Father, it's indeed a joy to be able to share the program with my listening audience, and I pray that you would touch those who need a special spiritual touch, and be with those who are struggling physically. You know who they are, Father, and I pray that you would meet their need right where they are right now. Thank you so much for your provision for this radio program and Loman Ministries. And I pray that you would lay it upon the hearts of those listening today, if they have not done so, to pray about supporting this ministry. We need their help, Father, and I pray that you would impress those who could do it to share an offering with the Lights of Spiritual Guidance so we can stay on this radio station. Again, Father, I want to give you praise and thanksgiving for your goodness in our lives. We commit this program to you today and ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org. You can give through PayPal or Venmo. May God bless you as you listen to the remaining part of the program today.
This earth holds no sorrow that Jesus cannot heal, and we have not a problem that God's not greater still. My Lord is now preparing a place for you and me, the mansion of all mansions, for the best is yet to be.
yet to be. That's what I'm longing for. Eyes have never seen what lies beyond heaven's door. I am standing on the promise, and I can't wait to see. Heaven is awaiting, and the best is yet to be. To be, that's what I'm longing for. Eyes have never seen what lies beyond heaven's door. I am standing on the promise, and I can't wait to see.
Second Corinthians chapter 4. I begin the reading with verse 5. The Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body." Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is the focus verse this morning. Paul again is stating this to the church of Galatia when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Did you notice the similarities between the last verse that I read in 2 Corinthians, verse 11, and Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? "For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal flesh. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Paul has shifted from a directive to a personal testimony.
I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You would agree with me this morning when I say that our culture continues to try and shape our thinking regarding what is right and wrong. We live in a world that's put its stamp of approval on a variety of lifestyles. We've even designated them by giving them certain letters. And we call them alternative lifestyles. I submit to this congregation this morning that there is only one alternative lifestyle that is validated in the Word of God and approved by Jesus Christ. A friend of mine, now gone on to be with the Lord, wrote this one day. It is the nature of people to have inner peace. A person will go to great lengths to have it. Therefore, people will either change the way they live to equal what they believe, or they will change what they believe to justify their behavior. When you begin to study the writings of the Apostle Paul, you're not long into his writings until you discover a common theme. Really, it doesn't matter which of the letters he might be writing, you'll find the theme. Oh, it's not the same phrasing necessarily, but the concept is there. And this theme that seemingly is running through the writings of the Apostle Paul is an expected lifestyle, an alternative lifestyle, if you please. He describes it in different terminologies, I noted, but when he wrote to the church at Rome, he talked of it as the mindset of the Spirit. When he wrote to the church at Corinth in the second letter, chapter 2, he talks about this expected lifestyle as the aroma of Christ. In chapter 5 of the letter to the church of Galatia, he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Expected lifestyle. To the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, he talks about this alternative lifestyle as God's workmanship. In writing to the church at Philippi in chapter 2, he tells them that you are to possess the mind of Christ. And then in explaining this expected lifestyle, in writing to the church of Colossae, in chapter 3, he says, put to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature. In writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says in the second letter that you and I are to be sanctified through and through. In writing to young Timothy, he instructed him, set the example in love, life, and purity. In writing to Titus, he told him regarding this expected lifestyle, he said, say no to ungodliness. Live self-controlled and godly in this present age. And finally, to Philemon, he says, writes to him, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. And so now, here in the passage that we read and you're hearing a moment ago, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also might be revealed in our mortal flesh. He's talking about Jesus. He alludes to the fact that in the life of Jesus, there was a death. Historical fact, men stood by, they watched it happen. Jesus died on a cross. We also know that not only did he die on a cross, 3 days later, he came forth out of the grave. So in the life of Jesus, there was a physical death and a physical resurrection. But I submit to you this morning, before that could be a reality in the life of Jesus, something had to happen in the heart and mind of Jesus. And it happened in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Father, could you just remove this cup? Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to die. I don't want to suffer. But then he said this, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. In that moment, I think he denied to himself the human part of Jesus. Not my will, but thine be done. Now Paul announces that we can also experience that kind of a surrender. Not my will, but thine be done. He's talking about an alternative lifestyle. You say, well, Layton, what is this lifestyle? Give it some handles. Give it a face. What are you talking about? Well, it has something to do with dying, but not physical death. It has something to do with living, but not just breathing. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is just another of Paul's efforts to try and convey this alternative lifestyle through a personal testimony. We know that Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And we do not have a timeline of his growth experience in the Lord. But at some point in time, after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, something else obviously had happened in the man's life, because he comes along and in writing to the church of Galatia, he says, let me give you my personal testimony. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I've been crucified with Jesus. That's my death. Not dying physically. Nevertheless, I'm alive. Well, I'm not really alive. But I am alive. Well, it's not me that's alive. But I am alive. Same face. Same hands. Same physical anatomy. But something has happened. I'm crucified with Christ. And now I'm alive in him. In other words, he says, I'm under new management. I'm under the management of Jesus Christ. The source of my living is no longer me. It is Jesus inside of me. Now, in order to make this truth come alive for us this morning, let me give you some handles to grab hold of. And trying to get hold of this alternative lifestyle that's available for every person in the building. Let me give you some handles. We'll talk about, first of all, the principle that operates an alternative lifestyle. Then we'll talk about the problem, because there is a problem. When you start talking about this kind of a lifestyle, there will be a problem. And then we will finish with the proposition. Let's talk about the principle. Oh, it's a marvelous principle. This principle that operates in alternative lifestyle living. As a matter of fact, when I explain what this principle is and I share it with you this morning, some of you people that never said amen out loud in a service might say it today. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, this principle that operates, you say, all right, well, tell us what it is. What is the principle that operates in this alternative lifestyle? It's what I call exchange life principle. What do you mean by that? I would suspect this morning that if you're a Christian, there was a time in your life when you asked him to forgive you of your sins. And you believe it happened. You expressed faith in him. He came and he removed the guilt of the sins of which you were guilty. But now, this takes it to another level. Exchanging lives, the exchange life principle. Jesus says, you come and you give me your life, not just your sins. I want your life. You come and give me your life, and in exchange, I'll give you mine. Jesus says, you come and give me your life, and in exchange, I will give you mine. Look anywhere you want to look, folks. You'll never find a deal like this. Walmart can't touch it with its rollback prices. I mean, it's the deal of a lifetime. He says, you give me who you are, and I'll give you in exchange who I am. He says, we'll just swap out. You give me all that you have, and in exchange, I'll give you everything that I have. What's your life worth? I mean, before the grace of God is activated in your life, what's your life worth? You say, well, Lane, obviously you don't know us. I'm a very valuable commodity around here. I'm a very valuable person. My family, what would they do without me? I mean, what would they do on the job if I didn't show up tomorrow? God forbid if this church had to do without me. I mean, you don't understand just how valuable I am. And I get all of that. I recognize that you're valuable to the people in your life and to this church perhaps, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, in the economy of God, what are you worth? You know what the book says about that? All of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We shrivel up like a leaf, and the wind sweeps our sins away. He says, without me, you're nothing. That makes this invitation of Jesus all the more incredible, because he comes and he says, I want you to give me what you are, which is not very much, and in exchange, I'll give you who I am, which is all that you will ever need. I mean, look at the results of this exchange life principle. He says, don't just confess your sins and stop there. It goes deeper than that.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.